ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ भद्रं कर्णे विश्रुणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनूभिः यशेम देवहितं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ ओ गॉड्स, मे वी ऑलवेज हियर विथ अवर इयर्स व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। ओ वर्शिपफुल वंस, मे वी विथ अवर आईज ऑलवेज सी व्हाट इज ऑस्पिशियस। May we live our allotted life hale and hearty, offering our praises unto Thee. May Indra of ancient fame bestow auspiciousness on all of us. May the all-nourishing portion be propitious to all of us. May Garuda, the destroyer of all evil, be well disposed towards all of us. May Brihaspati ensure our welfare. Om. Peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, on last Sunday, there was an interruption. So we will pick up the thread from last Saturday's class. Just to recollect what we had discussed so far, Vedanta wants to teach us the highest truth, and for that purpose, it adopts several methods of teaching, because that which is being taught is beyond description. But yet, a methodology had to be found out, and very importantly, Vedanta, I mean Advaita Vedanta, adopts four methodologies. Karya Karanavada, find out the root cause, because there is a law, the effect must be of the same nature as the cause. This is called Karya Karanavada. Drigdrishya, we make a big deal of difference between the subject and the object, I and everything else. But in Advaita, Advaita means there is no second. There cannot be any difference. Therefore, they must be the same. And that is the reason why first you negate the difference. When we say drigdrishya, discriminate, separate all the chaff from the grain. Really what it means is, the grain also belongs to the same material as the main material. Adhyaropa apavada, accept duality as real for the time being. This is called also abhyupedavada. That means, from the student's standpoint, his experience is, Brahman is not one, it is many, because the student sees everything as different. So, temporarily, accept this truth and lead him step by step. So, Adhyaropa means, yes, yes, what you say is true. Apavada means, slowly, like a psychiatrist leading a mental patient. Yes, you are what you say you are, who you say you are. And that brings about a confidence that this man understands me. Everyone calls me mad, but this one, he has understood the truth. He doesn't say I am mad. He says I am right. But slowly make him understand step by step, and finally the student, the mentally sick person, and we are all mentally sick, we are all mad. Everyone who thinks he is not Brahman is a madcap. the student slowly is led from the duality to non-duality. One of the methodologies is temporarily to accept the student's viewpoint. This is called Adhyaropa Apavada method. But we must remember it is only temporarily. And finally, Neti Neti Vada. This is also, all these four methodologies are similar actually. So for some people, no, not this, not this. You just go on analyzing everything and whatever you are experiencing is not you. And finally, what is left will be everything. These are the methodologies. It doesn't matter which methodology. Bhakti methodology is fine. Karma Yoga methodology is fine. Raja Yoga methodology is fine. And of course, Jnana Yoga methodology is also fine. So the question that was asked, remember, first mantra about the description of the six students. All of them are highly qualified. Adhikaris, sadhana, chatushtaya, sampannas. The second question, the Pipalada asks them, second mantra, Pipalada asks them, I think you better stay with me for 1 year. We will come to know each other better so that I can understand you and communicate with you in the appropriate manner. So that is dealt with in the second mantra. Third mantra, then after 1 year, one of the students called Kabandhi, also called Katyayana, approaches and asks this question, whence all these living beings, prajaha. But by praja doesn't mean only living beings, but the whole creation. Where from this whole creation has come out? Remember, Bhrigu, and this conversation comes in the Taittiriya Upanishad, third valli called Bhrigu valli. There was a very qualified student called Bhrigu, and his father was a realized soul, Varuna. And the son approaches father. Now the son is not a son, but a sishya. And the father is not a father, but a guru. Bhagavan addresses Bhagavan, not as father. A lord, because Brahma vit Brahma eva bhavati. A knower of Brahman, I know you are a knower of Brahman. And a knower of Brahman becomes Brahman. That means you are Brahman, so you are Bhagavan. You teach me about Brahman. And then he doesn't say Brahman is this or that. He gives exactly the same description as we are going to see from the fourth mantra onwards, that he says from find out from where all these bhutas have come out and in whom they live and unto whom they return. Yatova imani bhutani jayante, starting like that, yat pravishanti avisamvishanti iti, and finally they return unto whom they came, meaning indirectly that if you know the answer to these three inquiries, where from have I come, how am I living, in whom am I living, and ultimately where am I going to return, so also the whole universe. And then a father says, if you have this knowledge, then you will be a realizer, a knower, a Brahman like me. Same thing here also said in the from the fourth mantra onwards in the Prashna Upanishad. And let us not forget Prashna Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishad. All the three belong to Adharvana Veda. And Adharvana Veda, so Mundaka Upanishad is called Mantra Upanishad, that means brief Upanishad. And Prashna Upanishad is called Brahmana Upanishad, that means a little bit clarification is there, elaboration is there, so it is called Brahmana Upanishad. And here, this is how the Aparavidya mentioned in the Mundakopanishad is being elaborated in the form of the methodology of creation. Why creation? Because you find out from where have you come. If there is, you see a puppy, parents are, the species is called dog, kitten, cat, a tree, tree species, human babies, human parents, divine lord, divine beings. That is the rationality or logic. So, to Kabandhi, a teacher Pippalada, he answered, Tasmai saha vacha. Tasmai, to that disciple called Kabandhi, saha Pippalada Rishi, ha vacha, told beautifully, very clearly, without any doubt. What did he answer? What was the question? Where from this creation has come? Only he put it, prajaha, where from all these beings have come? That means entire creation. Then, what was the answer? Praja kamo vai prajapati. That is, prajapati, Brahma in the Puranas, Ishvara or Hiranyagarbha. Here, Hiranyagarbha, Sutratma, etc. I will come to that, even though I have already dealt with it. It is a repetition, but very necessary. This prajapati, that is the origin, it is like Prakruti of the Sankhya philosophy and along with combined Purusha, Prakruti and Purusha. Remember, Purusha cannot alone create, Prakruti alone cannot create, both must join together. That is, both what is called prana and matter, both must join together. Consciousness plus inert things, both must joined together. So this Prajapati, Sutratma, Hiranyagarbha, Brahma became at some point of time, we say at the break of the dawn. Brahma also like us goes to sleep, which is called Pralaya. Pralaya means completely merges in his nature, and Brahma is this creation. So along with Brahma, this whole creation becomes merged. Just like when we enter into deep sleep, our body goes to sleep, our mind goes to sleep, our personality goes to sleep. Only when we wake up, body comes alive, mind comes alive, they become active. That is how we have to understand. When Brahma wakes up, then it is his job, because he is called Prajapati. Prajapati means creator, creator of Prajas. Creation. And he becomes endowed with the deep desire. How much deep desire? He cannot but helplessly create. So, Kamaha, he was obsessed. Kama had taken possession of him. Kama means desire. What desire? I want to create. How? By myself. I myself will manifest as the creation. Creation, always remember, according to Hinduism, somebody like a potter taking a bit of clay prepares any number of pots. No, just like we create the entire dream world. That is how we have to understand. So this Praja Kamaha, and there is, when there is the desire will not allow him to keep quiet. What did he do? Satapo tapyata. Well, I have a desire. Just as we have a desire, and when we have a desire, we try to find out, how can I fulfill it? And always remember, a desire will come of only a thing which has been experienced before, and therefore the memory of that experience is there, and that experience in the form of memory is so pleasant that I have to repeat the same action again. Nobody can desire anything which a person doesn't remember. So that means this Prajapati or Brahma has been doing this action called creation from time without beginning, anadikala. So we cannot ask when did the first birth has come. And that has deep relationship with what we call karma siddhanta. Why am I like this? Because of my past karma. And why did I create myself like this in my last birth? Because of previous birth. And where from that previous birth came? The birth before that. And when did it start? It is anadi, timeless, beginning. It is like a circle. We cannot, this is the tack, this is the path that Hindu philosophy follows. There are two pathways, linear pathway and circular pathway. Indian philosophy has always adopted circular pathway, means every point is a point of beginning, point of end. If you are sitting in a circle and if you have started moving towards the left, for example, and you come back where you were sitting, and that would be the end point. Again, you start vice versa, if you are starting from the right side also. Another is linear method. Hinduism doesn't accept the linear method, but Western religions always accept only the linear methodology. So, this Prajapati, he meditated. Satapaha atapyata. What is here meditation? He dwelt upon his memory. Now, how did I create in the past? And what is the methodology I adopted in creating the past? Then he remembered, in my past creation, I did not create anything new. Everybody created themselves. Because it is like, yesterday night, you read a book, and you put a bookmark, and you went to sleep. Today morning you got up, you wanted to continue reading, and you start exactly where you left off. This is a beautiful analogy. So, all of us, in our last birth, we have progressed to some extent, evolved to some extent, and then we created certain samskaras, good or bad, a mixture of usually both. And in this life, we wanted to experience the results of our actions and either reinforce those samskaras. If they are good, reinforce. If they are evil, reduce them. But some people, by indiscriminate people, sometimes they reduce the auspicious samskaras and increase the inauspicious samskaras. But everybody sooner or later has to come round. There is no doubt about it. So, Prajapati Brahma thought about it. In my last birth, I gathered the seeds of every living creature and I sowed, I kept them dried in a bag, well preserved. And now the rainy season has come. That is, a time for recreation has come. I will sow them. And every seed, whether it is seed of a tree, seed of an animal, seed of an insect, seed of a human being, seed of an animal, every seed develops into its own nature. That's why I said a tiger is a creation of itself. Mosquito is a creation of itself. The only thing is, until human birth, non-human beings are slowly evolving because there is no karma. Why? Because there is no kartrutva bhava. I am the doer. I want to do this. I want to achieve this. I have done this. All credit belongs to me. That egotism is totally absent. And therefore, they cannot have any karma. Karma will be there, but karma phala will not be there. But once a person becomes human, he develops what is called self-awareness. And then karma phala will kick in, will step in. And from that time onwards, each one of us, we see a musician will be born in a musician's family. A person who had done lot of good will be born in a rich family. Shuchi naam srimatam gehe yoga brashtu abhijayate. And a person who had done lot of good, he will be born like this. But a person who did tremendous amount of spiritual practice, he will be born. Athava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimata. So the point I want to say, God doesn't create us. When we say God, we mean Brahma, creator. God doesn't create us. God merely acts like a manager of a factory. He awards each one of the workers according to their intelligence, according to their works, etc. Yatha karma, yatha shrutam. According to intelligence, means knowledge, according to what they have done. So, we are Brahmas. And another important point we have to remember is, since we create ourselves, that means we create our body, our mind, our individual world. That's why man's world is different, woman's world is different, a child's world is different, a young youth's world is different, an old man's world is different, old woman's world is different, a mosquito's world is different. Now you can extend. Each individual lives in both in a common world, and also the way he looks depends upon what he has done. It is purely an individual world, just like our dream, because each one of our dreams is a private dream and is a private world. Even if 1,000 people are sleeping by your side in the same hall, each one will have his own Swapnaloka. He created it. He is the Brahma, and he has to enjoy and suffer. When he wakes up, he doesn't blame anybody. He thinks of himself. So, Prajapati Tapa Tapyata. He had a crystal clear, unambiguous view of the entire karma phala of every living creature, non-living thing. And then what the mantra says, Satapas Tapa. Having visualized what he did it. What does he do? Let me give an opportunity for all these beings, again another opportunity to make progress, to move forward, and to realize their potential divinity. Saha, that means Prajapati, Mithunam Utpadayate, creates means he divided himself into two. Sam Utpadayate means very nicely created. And he gave a name for that. Rayincha Pranancha. One is called Rayi. Rayi means matter. Another is called Pranam. Prana means energy. Energy means consciousness. So one is, every object in this world is a combination of reflected consciousness called Chidabhasa and body and mind. But naturally the question comes, what about a stone? Yes, from our viewpoint, a stone merely exists. It is a matter, but doesn't seem to be having any type of consciousness. But our scripture tells us unambiguously, with absolute certainty, that every object that we see in this world is nothing but Sat Chit Ananda. But in what we call matter, non-living, inert objects, we see the manifestation of Sat, not Chit, and Ananda. Who sees? Unenlightened people like us. But when Sri Ramakrishna sees, when a Ramana Maharshi sees, for him everything is alive. Brahman is sporting itself with everything else. So a leaf is Brahman, a fruit is Brahman, root is Brahman, a stone is Brahman. In fact, that is the idea. Why? Everywhere these murtis are there, images are there. And you go there, say, let us say, Dakshineswar Kali temple, or you come to Varanasi Shiva temple, or you go to Tirupati Venkateshwara temple. What do you see? Only a black stone or basalt image. Let it be made of either stone or image, or it doesn't matter, or anything. It doesn't matter. But then, the devotees who go there, they go with a special insight, Divya Chakshu. God is alive. Because of my ignorance, impurity, I am not able to see the God as He is. But He is able to see me. So this is not a merely stone. This is what Holy Mother again said about Simhavahini. She is a living deity. She listens to our prayers. Even today, go to Dakshineswar and look at the Kali Murthy. It is looks like lifeless stone image. But what was Sri Ramakrishna looking? What did Swami Narendranath? He was sent one night. On Tuesday or Saturday, I do not remember. Sri Ramakrishna sent him because Narendra requested Sri Ramakrishna, you bless me with some means so that our family can survive. And immediately, Sri Ramakrishna said, I prayed, but I did not succeed because you don't accept, you do not really see that Divine Mother is real. You go tonight and your desire will be fulfilled. What did Swami Vivekananda, future Vivekananda, because every time I remember that this is Narendra, will not come to my mouth so easily. So this Swami Vivekananda went there and he saw living Mother Kali. Previously, what was he seeing? Only a stone image. And he criticized Sri Ramakrishna. Oh, this man, good man, but a little bit of stupid, is still worshipping idols. Anybody who worships idols is stupid. And by that standard, all of us are stupid. Because we worship this body, which is nothing but Shava. Shava Puja, we are doing from early morning till we go to bed. So, what did Swamiji see? And then he was supposed to ask for money. But then he could not ask because if you go to the Divine Mother, two things happen. First of all, when you are looking at Divine Mother, you can't remember any material things. Secondly, only those who are of the highest purity, they alone can see the Divine Mother. And for such people, the prayer that I want money, I want this, that can never come. It is impossible. Like Einstein goes to a school mathematics teacher and then says, you teach me how I can add 2 plus 2. So, it is impossible. That's what Sri Ramakrishna says. An expert dancer, even if he tries, cannot take a false step because his very training habit will not allow him to do that. It is almost impossible. Just as it is impossible for a non-trained musician to sing any raga or to play any instrument. So, Narendra saw Divine Mother. And thereafter, he was seeing only Divine Mother. And everybody who went to Sri Ramakrishna slowly started first feeling, then seeing the Divine Mother. Where do we put, draw a line? Say, this is non-living, this is living. For a Brahmagnani, a knower of Brahman, everything is Brahman. For a knower of inert thing, I am the body. Body is inert. Everything is Chaitanya Rahita. Okay. So this Prajapati, he divided himself into two. What is it? Chidabhasa and body and mind. But here the mantra is employing a pair of words. Rahi. Rahi means matter. Matter means object. I will come to that. Pranam. Here prana means life force, energy. But here what is meant is pratibimba chaitanya. Because it is only consciousness that really gives us energy. I'll just give a small example. And there you are walking in the street. Suddenly, supposing there is a child along with you. And the child's mother has gone away somewhere. Maybe she is shopping. And the child anxiously looking here and there. And he is conscious. These are all other people, not my mother. Suddenly, he espies the mother from a long distance. Immediately, as if tremendous energy has come. And until that time, his face was very depressed face. But as soon as his face breaks into the biggest smile and he will just kick off your hand and runs and then is taken up by the hands. What I mean to say, that it is consciousness, awareness, that this is very lovable, this is very desirable, then energy comes. And when it is not so, then energy gets depleted. So, what I want to say, prana means the subject, prayi means the object. Prana means the knower, prayi means the known. Prana means that which energizes us, and rayi means that which is employed, where the energies are directed. In time, I will come back for a little more explanation. So, the Prajapati became divided, a subject and object, in Shankaracharya's words, as the enjoyer and the enjoyed, as the karta and the bhokta. Rayi is the that which is enjoyed. Annam, he calls it. And prana, he calls it enjoyer. Atta. Atta means eater. Annam means that which is eaten. But don't even evoke the images of either bread or rice or idli or rasagulla. It means anything that the five sense organs really as a subject go and experience. That is the experiencer. And what these five sense organs experience is called the object, subject and object. And if we can remember, so instead of remembering Sutratma, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara, Prajapati, and ultimately Brahman, so let us not get confused. Simply say Brahma or creator. What did he do? He divided himself as if in imagination, in knowledge, like we do in dream, as the enjoyer and the enjoyed, as the karta and that which is enjoyed. So, rayi means that which is enjoyed. Prana means he who enjoys. And then everywhere, every object is a combination of this reflected consciousness plus what you call panchabhutas. So, after dividing himself, then as if he was looking and said, now these two, the subject and object, the enjoyer and the enjoyed, the experiencer and the experienced, now very nicely, they from them, the entire universe will come out. So, to Kabandhi, the teacher Pippalada said, Prajapati, the creator, was desirous of progeny. He performed austerities, means remembered what he did in the past, and created the pair, means divided himself as two, the moon and the sun. And he said to himself, what did he say? That these two should produce creatures for me in manifold ways. We said the sun and the moon. Prayi is called the moon and prana is equated with the sun. Where? We will come to it very shortly in the next mantra itself. So, energy and matter are the first two manifestations of the cosmic mind. Cosmic mind, creator, Prajapati, Pauranic Brahma, exactly different words, synonymous words, but Brahma, let us use. Now, we have to understand it, that Nirguna Brahma, Brahman, Advaitam, one. And remember, all this discussion is from the viewpoint of the Dvaitam, mind. That's why, don't question, how did Nirguna Brahma, the impersonal Brahman, why did it become? So, there must be something. There must be desire. Desire means maya. No. All these questions can never be answered. It is like asking, how did the infinite become finite? So, this Nirguna Brahma has become, from our limited mind's point of view, logical point of view, maya is nothing but mind. All these questions, all these answers, just as you don't ask, you don't answer, get answers in your sleep state. But a person who attains Nirvikalpa Samadhi, it is much more than that. So, Nirguna Brahma becomes Ishvara. Ishvara means cosmic mind, and he is called Hiranyagarbha, Prajapati, Sutratma, etc. And Prajapati Then what did he do? Divided himself into two in thought as what? Prakriti and Purusha, Rahi and Prana, the moon and the sun, the night and day, and from this night and day, from this the moon and the sun came what we call this Loka Srishti. Worlds have come. Most logical and marvelous way of explanation. I will come to this now. I am only giving the introduction which I wanted to give in my last Sunday class. If you see, in this world, day and night makes 24 hours. And day means when the sun is, sun rises and sun sets. From sunset to sunrise is called night. The day is represented by the sun. And the night is represented by the moon. And moon doesn't have its own light, but it absorbs the sunlight. And a marvelous transformation takes place. And that is what our scientific outlook, that is what our Upanishad also wants to tell us. Now, the sun and the moon, 12 hours, just for the sake of understanding, 12 hours daytime, 12 hours nighttime makes 24 hours, one full day. Without the sun and moon, nobody will be aware of time. Nobody will be aware of day and night. So you see, there are 365 days. This is called Samvatsaraha. And this year can be divided into two. When the sun starts traveling towards the south, and again after 6 months, the sun starts traveling from the south to the north, which is called Uttarayana. Ayana means travel. Prayana, that is why that Prayana, Prayana, Dakshina, Ayana, Yana. So from January 14th to July 15th or so, 14th or 15th, the sun is slowly traveling from the south to the north. This is called Uttarayana. Dakshinayana. Because the sun is coming near. Nearer and nearer and nearer. So the heat is slowly increasing. So after January, the spring season, and then the summer season, and then the rainy season. And then from July 15th onwards, starts traveling toward the south. That means less and less heat. It is called Dakshinayana. 6 months, 6 months. Now every month also is divided according to Hindu calendar, the bright fortnight and the dark fortnight. That is Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha. And then every day is divided into day and night. All these because of what? Because of the sun and the moon. The movement of the sun and the moon. This is called Loka Srishti. The entire creation, the sun's energy. What is creation? Everything in this world is a creation of the combination of the sun and moon. So with the sun light is what is called prana energy. And the light of the moon is that which sustains, nourishes in the form of food. So when we see there is life, then there is prana, because life means prana. Prana means chaitanya, because you can't say prana is there, but chaitanya is not there. There is consciousness is there. I am alive and I have prana. Without prana, I can't be aware. And without chaitanya, I can't have prana. That's why when a body is dead, chaitanyam is there all the time, but there is no medium for it to manifest. So everything in this world is a manifestation, a stone, a river. For example, you know, such a marvelous discussion. It is the oceans are created by whom? By the sunlight. And the water is lifted by the sun in the form of steam, in the form of clouds. And he only creates the winds, solar winds. And the winds carry these clouds to a higher place, mountains. And the clouds descend in the form of rains. And the rains start flowing And as they travel from a small few trickles, a small stream, bigger stream, small river, bigger river, and when it reaches the ocean, huge rivers are there. So this circular movement called Pritham, discovered in our Vedic times by rishis, everything is day and day is merging in night, night is merging in day. So like that, happiness merges in unhappiness, unhappiness in happiness. And here is birth, here is death. This mithuna, this pair, is what we have to understand. So what am I driving at? It is the Surya, Sun, and it is the Chandra, the Moon. One is called Prana, another is called Matter, Rai. And it is the combination of these two, and both are manifestations of Prajapati. And these, first the Sun and the Moon, and the combination of the Sun and the Moon, they become the lokas, worlds, living and non-living. What a marvelous description. So as I said, then why is this description of Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, northern solstice, southern solstice, then bright fortnight and dark fortnight? Because according to night and day, remember in Hinduism, everything is deified. The sun is the presiding deity of the day, the moon is the presiding deity of the night. Similarly, the bright fortnight, there is a god, a representative of the sun. Similarly, the dark fortnight, the representative of the moon, they are called devatas. Everything is a devata, everything is divine in the form of Panchabhutas. And then this Dakshinayana is presided by another higher deity, and Dakshinayana, Uttarayana, both are deities. They have nothing to do with lifeless time. Both are deities. So everything is ruled. Day is ruled by deity, fortnight is ruled by a deity, and 6 months is ruled by a deity, year is ruled by a deity. We will come to that. I am giving just the background now. So then, this time, because the first thing, even according to scientists, after Big Bang, time is created, space is created. Time and space are inseparable. You cannot think of time without space. You cannot think of space without time. And this time and desha, that is kala and desha, these are the responsible for the entire creation of this entire world. Big Bang creates time. Time can be divided into night and day, fortnights and months, 6 months, 1 year. One rolling is called Kala Chakra. And then daytime is prana, energy. Energy becomes both matter, and matter reflects the reflected consciousness, that means body, mind are the manifestations of the sun, moon, matter, and the reflected consciousness is represented by the Aditya or the sun, who is Prajapati, who is Ishvara, who is Nirguna Brahma. That means finally everything is Nirguna Brahma as Prajapati, or what we call Ishvara. And Ishvara divides himself into two, that is the subject and object, knower and the known, enjoyer and the enjoyed, experiencer and the experienced, and without one, the other cannot be there. That is why they are complementary. Complementary means two separate things, but inseparable, intellectually separable, but existentially inseparable. Without night, we will not have an idea of day. Without darkness, we cannot have any idea of light. Without man, we cannot have the idea of a woman, and vice versa. Without happiness, there cannot be any idea of unhappiness. And without consciousness, this is conscious matter and this is unconscious matter. Even that knowledge is totally impossible. So this is the first, the sun and the moon, Rayi and Prana. Rayi means moon, Prana means the sun. It is the energy of the sun that is the cause of the entire cosmos, creation of the cosmos, including, according to Hinduism, all the 14 lokas, not only our physical cosmos, but 14 lokas, what is called in other ways, Bhuh, Bhuvaha and Svaha. Everything is manifestation of Prajapati, if we know how to look at it in the process, through the process of Karya Karana, from the effect to the cause. So this is how the Aditya, the sun and the moon, Loka Srishti, and the sun and the moon create Kala Srishti, time, as day and night, as the bright fortnight and the dark fortnight, and as Uttarayana, Dakshinayana, northern solstice and southern solstice. Finally, the Samvatsaro Prajapatihi, it will come here, very soon there. So, from this matter and the reflected consciousness, Prana and Rayi, time has come. Time means Loka Srishti. And from this Loka Srishti comes, later on we see, Kala Srishti, time. And from Kala Srishti comes Anna Srishti. How does it come? Because daytime, it is the energy of the sun that pervades the entire universe. And a plant, for example, is a creation of the sun. Plants have the special ability to directly cultivate or absorb sun's energy. And other creatures who cannot do it, this process in the plants is called photosynthesis. And we, like many animals, we only eat the plants. That means we are indirectly absorbing the sunlight. As I said, a piece of bread, piece of idli, piece of rasagulla is a piece of this combination of sun and the moon. So this energy creates all this. But in the form of the moon, and moon is said to be annam, that means it has a very special power to transform this energy into food, and food and the eater of the food. Food is represented by the moon, and sun represents the eater of the food in the form of reflected consciousness plus prana shakti. So from the sun and the moon, first of all, the time is created, Kala Srishti. Kala means Loka Srishti, Loka means Kala. From Kala came Annam, because whatever food we see is only a combination of the sun and the moon, and then manifestation of the sun and the moon, and from there, what we call Jiva Srishti, every living creature. How? First of all, there is inorganic matter, as we scientists explain beautifully, the gradual process of evolution, what they call biological evolution, and then slowly, the inorganic becomes organic. The organic starts with the one-celled creature called amoeba, and slowly this amoeba divides itself, becomes two-celled, multi-celled, then plants, insects, birds, animals, lower human beings, higher human beings, the entire creation has come. Again, entire creation is the experienced and the experiencer, subject and object. So, here is some point you have to carry and keep it always in the mind. Well, suppose I am looking at you and you have a beautiful stone, could be necklace, could be gemstone, could be diamonds, doesn't matter. And when I look at you, I am dividing my experience into two. You are the living creature, but you are adorned with non-living things like the diamond, like the gemstone, like the ornaments, etc. But according to Vedanta, there is no such thing. Because if there is no subject, there would be no object. If there is no cognizer of the cognized, does not exist. Vice versa, if there is nothing to cognize, the subject, the cognizer, also will disappear. Either they have to be always together, or they disappear with the disappearance of one, both things disappear. This is the process. So in this world, everything is both subject and object. This is the next point. What is it? When I look at you, because you become an object, you are without any consciousness, you are an inert being. Object means inert. Profound philosophical point. Don't say, I am alive, so you can't call me an inert thing. So far as I am concerned, I look at you because there are certain characteristics of what is called, what is the definition of an object. An object is that which has no existence, no knowledge, no experience without the cognizance of the subject. If I don't know you, that means when I do not think about you, you do not exist, no sat, I do not have your knowledge, no chit, I do not have any impression of what experience I get from you, sat, chit, ananda will not be there. Therefore, remember, even if you are looking at Sri Ramakrishna, when he was alive, from your point of view, he is an inert object. Surprising, shocking, but fact. And when you look at me, when Sri Ramakrishna looks at you, then you become the object. You are simply vritti. And the highest concept of such vritti, thought in the mind, is called Brahmakara vritti. That's why Totapuri has to say that you remove that vritti, mentation, because that means you remove that object. And when that object, when you succeed in removing the object, the subject also simultaneously disappears. And what remains is indescribable, Advaita, Brahman. From our dualistic point of view, you can use any name, blessed name you want to have. What is the point? Subject, object go together. They cannot live separately. But when you analyze subject, object, both of them have originated from, as I said, you know, subject, object. Subject is the Surya. Object is the Chandra. Surya is called Prana. Sun is called Prana. And the moon is called Rayi. And this sun and the Rayi and Prana have been the thought in the mind of the Prajapati. Prajapati means Ishvara. Ishvara means Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma means Brahman plus Maya. And when that division of both consciousness as well as non-consciousness, Purusha and Prakruti, they are transcended, what remains? Indescribable. This is the preamble I wanted to talk in my last class. And please keep these points in view, and it will be very easy to sum up before I close. Everything is Brahman, but from the causal point of view. Even that word cause is a dualistic word. You can't use the word cause without being reminded of effect. You can't understand what is an effect without being reminded of the word cause. But when there comes a time, and we don't know how, call it grace of God, our mind itself is transcended by the grace of God, then what remains is indescribable. And that is the purpose of asking, whence all this creation? We will talk about this marvelous subject tomorrow, Navala, next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.